If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the gospel truth, and it really is just that simple. Paul desperately wanted his Jewish brothers and sisters to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as their Savior. 5 times in these 10 verses, he quotes from Hebrew Scripture, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joel, twice from Isaiah. But Paul goes on to make it clear that salvation through Jesus Christ is not just for the Jews when he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In salvation, we find life eternal, a gift freely given to us by Jesus. And Paul desperately wanted to share that gift. And I want to share that gift. And I hope you, too, want to share that gift. When Paul quotes Isaiah, "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart," he is implying that faith goes beyond mere intellectual understanding. Faith is something we find deep within ourselves, and it is faith that enables us to believe, even in the face of intellectual doubt. It is because of our faith that we are saved. But Paul takes it a step further. Not only must we believe the resurrection in our hearts, we must confess what we believe with our lips. We must do this because this gift of salvation for all eternity, will remain hidden from some unless we proclaim it. This is called evangelism. I know there's a tension around evangelism, especially in the Episcopal Church. Many Christians are uncomfortable sharing their personal faith. It seems so impolite, so unseemly, somehow out of place in today's modern world. My message this morning is that it is not impolite, it is not unseemly, and it is not out of place in today's world. It is a matter of life or death. In today's society, as faith in God becomes increasingly diminished, it is more important than ever. Evangelism is simply the work of those who spread the good news. In the midst of the COVID pandemic, who wouldn't welcome a bit of good news? And what news could be better news than the news of salvation, the news that eternal life is ours? Why on earth wouldn't we want to share that? Sometimes we're uncertain. Sometimes we doubt, struggling with both is intrinsic to how we were created by God. Perhaps today people face that struggle more often than at any other time in recent history. People are searching for something they can trust. Our job as Christians is to share with them the one who is trustworthy, the one we know welcomes our questions, the one who welcomes our doubts. We're sent out to share Jesus, with others, this Jesus who offers certainty and hope regardless of the situation. One of the unintended benefits of our current situation is the emergence of the digital church. Never before has it been so easy to invite a friend or a coworker to church. They can be with us without even getting off the couch. And if they can't be here at 10 o'clock, they can be here with us later in the day. And if they can't be here with us today, they can be with us later in the week, whatever is most convenient for them. This is the dawn of the age of no excuses evangelism. Part of our reluctance to share our faith stems from a sense that bringing Christ to others is somehow a daunting responsibility. But understand that in reality, you aren't bringing Christ to anybody. Christ is already there. You're simply helping someone to recognize that. It's not up to you to save the world. God has already done that. Evangelism is simply allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. The word is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. Evangelism is simply speaking honestly about what is in your heart. So, what is in your heart? One of the challenges of evangelism is not just how we relate to others, a fear about how we might be perceived, but also about how we relate to God. Paul quotes Isaiah, the word is near you, on your lips, and in your heart, and he's suggesting that faith is the result of an integrated life. There has to be consistency between the exterior and the interior. He's suggesting that faith is a result of an integrated life, a life of exterior, on your lips, and interior, in your heart, authenticity. The more we live our lives consistent with what we believe in our hearts, the deeper our faith becomes, and the more apparent it becomes to others. There's a sense of humility in understanding that we may not be able to change anything, but faith can change the world. This path to exterior and interior authenticity lies within the community of the body of Christ, whether it's physical or virtual, the study of God's word, and in prayer. Elijah heard God's voice in what the NRSV translates as sheer silence. I prefer the older and probably more accurate translation of a still small voice. After Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. A relationship with God is crucial to the interior authenticity of our faith. So listen for God. You will hear God in the most unusual places. Yes, evangelism can be a little bit scary, but faith and fear go together. Peter knew that when he stepped out of that boat. The boat was battered by the waves on the Sea of Galilee. The wind was against them. Discipleship is often like that. Life is often like that. Peter is panicked, not only by the turbulent waves, but by the specter of what appears to be a ghost walking across the water toward the boat. When Jesus commands Peter to come to him, he steps out of the boat and embarks on this journey of faith. Fear overtakes him. He begins to sink, but Jesus saves him. "You of little faith," he says, "why did you doubt?" Not "you of no faith." It only took a little bit of faith for Peter to be saved. That's the way it works. We trust, then we succumb to fear, then Jesus saves us. We are reassured, and the cycle repeats, and it repeats, and it repeats throughout our lives. Like Peter, we too are called to step out in faith, even in the midst of the turbulence of current events in the world, even in the midst of our own doubts. This is what it takes to be faithful to the call of Christ. There are no guarantees that we will not be faced with troubled waters. There are no guarantees that we will not be afraid. The guarantee is that Jesus will not abandon us. No matter what, Jesus will be with us. And when we need it most, Jesus will lift us up and get us back in the boat. Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." After his resurrection, he will say the same thing to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary after they leave the empty tomb. Do not be afraid. This morning, Jesus is saying to us, do not be afraid. It's time to get out of the boat. Invite someone to open their heart to Christ. Invite someone to be with us here at church. They won't even have to get off the couch. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.